The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. And he said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. The most important part of the gospel passage just proclaimed is right up front. And Jesus would be glad if we were to make this petition to him today, the petition of his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Each and every one of us, in fact, I knew what the gospel was going to be today, but this was my prayer for my holy hour this morning. Lord, teach me to pray. Not one of us knows, say, the fullness, not one of us has exhausted the limits of God's love for us. And so not one of us has exhausted every, say, opportunity we have to pray. Not one of us understands fully what that means. And each and every one of us needs to be taught time and again, in fact, whenever we come to pray, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me to pray. Now, Jesus, we can imagine how swelled his heart was at this request. Because the disciples have seen that he's up and about doing many a miraculous deed. He's preaching with authority. He's a captivating character. And here, usually they don't get it right, but here they get it right. They understand that prayer is at the heart of everything that Jesus does, precisely because it's at the heart of who he is. Now, if you experienced CCD the way that I experienced, you were taught, well, you weren't taught a lot, but you were taught that prayer is conversation with God. Prayer is talking to God. But I realized some years ago when I was trying to instruct people in how to pray, I do that as like a part-time gig, like a side gig here, try to teach people how to pray, I realized that we use those words analogously. It's an analogy. Because talking to God gives us the idea that prayer is an exchange of ideas. It's a conversation that we would sit here in church and say, you know, God, yeah, some stuff's been going on, and there are these bad things going on in the world, and I think it'd be good if you did something about it. Okay, that's all well and good if it springs from the heart, but if it only stays in our heads, how good truly is it? Rather, prayer is more than conversation. Prayer is communion. It's not we're sitting around exchange ideas. Hey, God, I got some good ideas, and maybe you want to chip in some of your own. I don't know, because mine are pretty good, God. And if you followed those, then we'd be in a better place than we are today, right? But no, communion with God is an exchange of hearts. And not heart, merely just the affective aspect of our lives, like how we feel, but heart in terms of the very core of our being. What is most truly me? Where is that center of our existence? And how do we come before God and turn that over to Him? And as we turn that over to Him, we receive also His heart for us. So we turn over our lives, He gives us His life. It's an exchange of hearts, it's an exchange of life, much more than an exchange of mere words. This is how Jesus wants us to pray. Heart speaks to heart. And He gives us here a lot of guidance on how to make this a reality. I could spend, I won't, because it's already starting to fill this place with hot air. I can feel the temperature rising. We could spend hours and hours talking about the Lord's Prayer. And I would offer that to you for your reflection. You can go back and meditate on any part of that at all. It's best to start from the beginning. But you can meditate on that any part at all. Even the two words at the beginning, Our Father. Our Father. Let's talk about Our Father. Okay, and Jesus keys in even there, right? Those aspects of fatherhood. God is the perfect Father. And if we trust our fathers to give us good things, then how much more should we trust God, who is all good? But I won't go there. What I want to do is look at two aspects of prayer that Jesus puts in front of us today that are part of the same issue. He knows our hearts, and He knows that this is the biggest issue for us in prayer. The main issue is trust. What He gives us is two aspects of trust in God, is boldness and persistence. Okay, boldness. Boldness is this. We cannot be afraid to bring ourselves as we are in our needs and our desires, our whatever it is, wherever we are, we cannot be afraid to put our very selves into God's hands. We cannot be afraid to bring what we desire to God. Yes, okay, conversation, but also our very hearts. Sometimes it's inexpressible. Sometimes we cannot give words to what it is that's inside of us. We have to be bold to put ourselves into God's presence, to say, okay, God, this is where I am. These are my needs. And it could be that, look, we all, I think, pray for other people because we realize how desperately other people need help. And they need God and His direction, His guidance, His counsel, the rest. They need His grace. We should be bold in putting those needs in front of God. Just as this guy, right, he's going to his friend's house at midnight. I don't know how many of you have been woken up at midnight. It's not pleasant, especially when there's some need that you're going to have to get up and respond to. You know that your rest is ruined. It's not a good position to be put in. But that guy, because he knows his need, goes and knocks on the door. He goes and knocks on the door. And the guy's like, okay, fine, go away. You know, that's the response usually. Go away. Even there, we move into persistence. He was good, he was bold to put that need. And this is Jesus is saying that God, he's likening God to the friend that's lying in bed. You know, like let's rouse him. Saying, be bold. And if it's not If we're not going to receive a response because of the goodness of our petition, we're going to receive a response because we persevere, because we're persistent. We keep on praying. We keep on praying. We keep on praying. Okay. Boldness and perseverance. But at its heart, it's trust. Trust that God knows us, he knows our need. Trust that God loves that person that we're praying for more than we do. Trust that God, in putting it in his hands, will see to it that everything is taken care of. His plan, his time, because it's better than our plan, and it's not accomplished in our time. Now, let me say this, because it's important for us. We don't get much training on how to pray, but I'll give you a key that will demonstrate to you that you are, in fact, praying. Sometimes we get lost in this exchange of thoughts, and we lose out on prayer. We don't get the exchange of hearts, the exchange of lives. The way that we know we are praying is that precisely in that moment where we're turning our hearts and lives over to God, we start to experience more love, more joy, and more peace. There are many other things besides, but those I think are very important for us. Peace especially, because peace we will receive when we are sure in the core of our being that we have in fact entrusted ourselves and our heart and our life to God. Because then everything's going to be fine. He will fill us with his love. And it's his love that causes in us the fruit of the Spirit to grow. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, be bold, be persistent. And the more you put yourself in the hands of God, the more you open up your heart to him and entrust yourself to him in prayer, the more you will receive from him, not just anything, but the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is all we want. Now, one last part. There's a dynamic here that we all have to, I don't think understand, but work with. When we entrust ourselves and our hearts, our lives, and whatever petitions of our heart, whatever we want, whatever we desire to God, then we're going to see not that God takes us away from that, but that God equips us to go back into the very situations and circumstances for which we are petitioning with the strength that he gives us. That's why this love and joy and peace that we find in prayer is so essential, because there God is not merely filling us up so that we can feel good. He's filling us up to equip us to bring his love and his life to others. He's filling us up so that we can bring whatever those people need, whose needs we are bringing before God. He's giving us what we need to take that to others. So we are here a missioned people. Right? Prayer for us often takes this form, this communal form, where we bring our hearts to God, and we offer them to God in the perfect prayer of Jesus, his Son. And receiving here his life, we are sent forth. The words are, ite missa est, go forth, the Mass is ended. It's the most important thing we hear to throw us back into the world with what we've received, to enliven the world, to revivify the world with the life of Christ, to bring beauty to an ugly place, to bring God's grace to a place that otherwise wouldn't have it. We are missioned people. We're missioned Sunday after Sunday. We're missioned every time we turn to God in prayer. Today, Jesus teaches us how to go about it. Let's get it going. Right? Let's take it on for ourselves. Recklessly abandon yourself to God, so that he might fill you with his love and send you on his mission to restore and redeem this world.